You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Did you know that Podcast Juice is premium content? Well, check out Podcast Juice All Access. Join today and get instant access to over 9 years of great classic podcasts, members-only shows, and more exclusive content. Go to PodcastJuice.net/All Access and join today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podcast Juice. This is what we do. We're doing a special podcast tonight, getting to you on a Wednesday. And we wanted to get together and talk about the Sony situations. Things have heated up, as you probably have heard, so we're going to get into it. But before we do, let me introduce who we have on the line. Ladies first. So up right now, Tori, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's things going with you today?
Everything is great.
All right. Next up, Mr. Aunt Pooh. How are you doing, sir?
I'm enjoying life.
Oh, I love that.
Enjoying life.
All right. Let's see. What we got next is Mr. Sean Hill. How are you, sir?
Vegas fever. That's all I got to say.
Yes, Viva Las Vegas. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Q Storm. How are you, sir?
You know how I am. I don't have to explain that.
Okay.
Let's get a pop. Let's get it on a pop.
Ready to get it
pop. You're a mean one, Mr. Q.
Conspiracy brother.
And then, hey, I'm glad you knew better, youngin, to put the mister up in front of there.
And joining us before we get rolling,
our elders.
That's right.
Speaking of our elders, we do have another one on the line. Mr. Big Sexy in Sack, how are you, sir?
Elders, I'm letting that one slide. I'm cool. I'm at the office. I just set up the desktop and wanted to see what was going on with this interview discussion. And so I figured I'd jump in right quick.
All right. Well, we're just getting started. And as he has said, we're going to talk about Sony has now announced that they are canceling the release of the Seth Rogen comedy, The Interview. Again, we've been talking about this Sony hack that's been going on. The U.S. Government or whatever has now said that, you know, they believe that North Korea is behind the hack. And now we have a movie that is not going to be released, I would imagine, for fear of what the hacker said, 9/11 style attacks. This is certainly some cyber terrorism going on, if you want to use those words together. This is an interesting thing. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before. The movie hasn't been leaked. It has literally been canceled because of fears. So I want to go around the room and get everybody's opinions on the situation. I'm going to go to Sean Hill first because I think you were, I don't know if you saw the movie or not, you were going to do a press screening.
Tomorrow, oh, okay. Actually. Yeah, and that's why I kind of asked if we could talk about this because this is unprecedented what's going on right now. I mean, I've been following movies all my life, and I've seen controversial movies. I've seen movies that have been picketed and whatnot, but I have never, ever heard of a case where a studio totally pulls a movie literally a week before its release. I mean, they've got so much money and time and expense and all of this wrapped into this, I understand why Sony's doing it, I guess, but at the same time, it's setting a horrible and terrible precedent for future films. Any film that anyone doesn't like or offended by has the potential of not being seen. Now, should this movie have been seen? I don't know. I haven't seen it. The previews doesn't look that good, but people still have a right to see it if they choose to do so. So that's why I wanted to fire up these mics and get it popping. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, just to add, and then we'll go around also, before Sony actually decided to cancel the release, a lot of the top theater chains had opted not to show the movie. Such chains as AMC, Cinemark, and Regal, which are, I think, probably the top three biggest chains out there, have opted not to show the movie. And then, I'm sorry, what was I going to say? So, yeah, they opted not to show it. And then, so Sony has sort of said, hey, you know what, let's put out a release. we're not going to do it. But they are saying now, at least Variety is saying, that Sony may release this as on demand, on video on demand, to sort of recoup some of the money lost from this.
I heard differently.
Oh, okay.
I heard they have no plans to do anything with it at this time. And I want to say one more thing real quick before we pass it off to someone else. I was listening to the live show last night. Actually, I was listening to it live while I was at another screening. But you guys had me scared to go to this screening, to the interview screening.
Shook.
I'm like, damn, they threatened all that? I hadn't heard all that. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, okay, so what does that mean? Are they going to do that for screenings too? So should I even go to this? Is this silly Seth Rogen movie worth my life?
Right?
I don't know.
Well, just to go back, there is a story. I don't know if this just was posted on the wire, but Variety.com does have the headline here. Sony weighing premium video release for the movie. The other thing I was going to add was, this is from the movie theaters. This is exhibition industry analyst Eric Wold. I guess he sort of represents some of the theater chains. He says it's much less of a big deal to pull the film than it is to risk something happening. It makes no sense for a theater to choose to show this movie. Q Storm, what are your thoughts on this whole situation?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. This just does not pass the smell test. I mean, we went through a major tragedy in 2001. And yet the whole pervading mindset was go about your business, keep shopping, keep traveling. And so now we have this a cyber hack and people are threatening terrorist activities. I mean, is anyone stopping to think how are they going to carry out these activities over movie theaters across the country? Mm-hmm. So I put on Facebook, I would not be surprised if this is some sort of marketing ploy by Sony, because they know the movie sucks, they know it's going to tank, so they kind of ride the wave of this and they plant their own emails talking about this cyber. We're going to perform these terroristic acts of this. Really coming from Sony, and then they pull the movie and build up a whole furor about the movie, and then maybe a year from now the movie will come out in theaters and people will flock to see it. I mean, I know that's some conspiracy stuff. I wouldn't be surprised.
That's heavy.
Coming from you, that's not a big surprise.
Can I say
one thing on this? I had heard, now I did hear this, that they were planning the hackers were planning a quote-unquote Christmas Day surprise.
Yep.
So I'm thinking maybe there's more stuff that Sony is probably afraid that's going to come out that's even more damaging than what's already come out.
Yeah, to add on to that, the speculation is, well, they did drop half of that surprise. I can't think of the CEO's name right now, but they released all of his documents, I think, yesterday. The other part that they're speculating now is that they actually have copies of the majority of the new releases for next year. Now, some of the movies may be in various states of production, but they are thinking they have most of the bigger movies that they're going to leak, such as the Kevin Hart one, that one science fiction movie, the Chappie, I think it is. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's by the guy who did just District 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're speculating that they actually do. They are going to release all of those movies online early as well. So it is pretty crazy. I wanted to go to Big Sexy. What is your take on this?
You know, first of all, if I'm getting the Transformer effect, I'm not aware of the internet capacity of the building I'm in, so I apologize in advance. I have to co-sign with Q on this because the movie looks like a stinker. You know, it is a controversial subject. It would not surprise me that somebody in the Sony office is behind this just to stir up interest because, you know, it's human nature. The more you're told you can't see something, the more you want to see it. And maybe their advanced screenings didn't look well, and, you know, now we got this whole thing. And I'm not saying the two are related, but it would not surprise me if someone in Sony, you know, saw this and said, you know, we'd be a fool not to get on this. And so let's just split and say, oh, we've been hacked and it's so bad and blah, blah, blah for security purposes, which, you know, the masses, especially fans of Seth Rogen, eat that up. So I'm thinking it's a little dubious at best.
The only thing I can say that I don't think it is all of these sort of racial, you know, stabs that have come out of these emails. I don't know if you guys saw the Denzel Washington one that just came out today.
No.
I don't think they would purposely put themselves in that sort of position. And, of course, the Kevin Hart stuff and the Angelina Jolie. And,
hold on. What did they say about Denzel Washington?
Here, I'm going to read the headline.
Brother, you got something to say, huh?
Here's the headline. And it may not necessarily be bad what they're saying, but it's not going to play well to the public. Denzel blacklisted. Sony execs warned not to cast Washington in big flicks because black leads don't play well. It's part of the email. And he's going talking about that.
Okay, that makes no sense.
Well, he's saying in context, he's saying that he does well in the States. But and I'm going to find the words. He says that the international audiences are racist. And his movies will not. He says, I believe that the international motion picture audience is racist in general. Pictures with African-American leads don't play well overseas. And he's talking about the Equalizer 2 that they're going to do and just sort of using black actors in these bigger event movies is not necessarily something that they may want to do. I don't think they would purposely put some shit out like that.
Well, no, but I think what Big Sexy and I are saying is that we're not saying that they put out all of this stuff. We're saying that they release certain emails on the piggyback of these other inflammatory emails. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you're saying. Who knows? That's quite possible. That, you know, either way, their stock price is taking a hard dive. So I don't know if it didn't work for them properly, but that could be a possibility.
And now they got North Korea. Now they've got the whole media, all the media saying North Korea was behind the hacks. I just find that way too coincidental that North Korea. Well,
the U.S. has said that.
I know. The U.S. has lied to the American public many times in the past.
To protect Sony?
A Japanese company?
No, well, the stateside, the domestic arm of that Japanese company.
Again, to protect Sony?
What do you mean, protect Sony?
Yeah, because Sony's got a ton of interest here, so it's not necessarily protecting a Japanese company because there's a lot of money tied up, on both sides here.
No, but I think Q's saying is that the U.S. government is lying to the American people that North Korea is behind it, and I'm like, why would they spread that lie?
Let me ask you this question. Hold on. Yes, sir. Let me make sure I understand the question. You're saying that an American-based company, although it's Japanese, has its roots in Japan.
Yeah. It's a Japanese-based company.
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm talking. It's a Japanese-based company. Yes, that's who's getting all the money. Japan is getting the money.
Are you finished?
Okay.
You said it was American-based. I was just saying it wasn't American-based.
Listen to me.
We are.
Its origins are based in Japan, but I'm just saying the American arm is based in America. The offices are located in America.
Go ahead.
Right, are we going to argue semantics?
You do that all the time.
So what I'm saying is that are you asking why would this American arm of a Japanese company, why would they want to accuse North Korea of hacking them and putting a face on an enemy that everyone can agree is a dictatorial sovereign nation that everyone hates. Why would they want to shift the blame to North Korea and have the media feed into that?
But the U.S. government is saying North Korea did it. Not Sony might be. Yeah, it is North Korea.
Ant Poo, seriously.
Q Storm.
You don't think the government is with Citizens United might just be in collusion with big corporations?
Wait, so what you're trying to tell me is Sony made the call to the Justice Department and said, "Yo, we need you to cover our backs. North Korea did this Sony hack," and the Justice Department decided to trot out President Obama to say, "Yes, North Korea is responsible for these Sony's hack to protect. Wait, hold on. Let me finish. They to in order to protect them from this entire debacle.
First off, when did Obama make a statement on this? Has he made a statement?
They haven't. And it says senior administrative officials who would not speak on the record about this intelligence findings said the White House was debating whether to publicly accuse North Korea for what amounts to a cyber terrorism attack. This is just posted on the New York Times. And also somebody has their speakers a little too loud because we're hearing the feedback.
And what I've been reading is that the U.S. government is supposed to make an announcement tomorrow. And you're saying that Sony has a direct line to the Justice Department, apparently, and said, yo, get that boy on out here and say this is North Korea's fault.
To protect them
from their own hack. Not even the cover-ups. They didn't accidentally kill somebody in Russia or some spy or some shit to cover up the fact that their emails are leaked to the public.
And it's the same Sony that threw shade on Obama, which people are calling racist as well.
But I'm just saying, if you're gonna call in a favor, you're gonna do it to sweep your emails being leaked under the rug. That makes no sense. Call in when there's some real shit hit the fan, not some goddamn emails.
Do we know whether or not Sony had contributed to Obama's campaign?
Oh Lord.
Q, where am I losing you at? I'm saying there's no way in the world the U.S. government would come out and say yes, lie and say North Korea did this in order to make Sony look better. And two, I just don't see Sony calling in a favor because, man, we're looking bad with these emails. Emails?
I guess I don't understand. You have a corporation, Hold on, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
You have a corporation that could potentially, we don't know, crash and burn because of this. Now, you don't see how the government, who accepts a lot of money from corporate America, might not have have an interest in this.
Not over a 30 something million movie. I mean, it'd be different to me if it was something that was this. The company's not gonna crash and burn over this. I can see it happening. The Japan heads are probably fire the American CEO, clean house. Yes. And you know, bring in their own people or something.
They don't deal with embarrassment. Yeah, they're not gonna. I'll let you know that.
Well, we're going back and forth, and we understand you guys as both sides. Wanted to get some more opinions though before we continue on. Ampu, go ahead, and what is your take on this whole situation?
My take is, to a nicer guy, it couldn't happen. That's all I can say. my thing is, I wanted to look at the part of the racial element to this, that it's funny how when Ferguson was going on, when the Eric Garner situation was going on, none of these Hollywood elites had a goddamn thing to say. When these emails leaked from Sony calling Kevin Hart a whore, a greedy whore, they didn't have his back or anything. But because one of their boys, one of their chosen sons, favorite son, their golden child, is going to get their film shell, all of a sudden this is
front. Who's the golden child?
Seth Rogen and James.
Get the Franklin. Fuck out of here! I wouldn't call him the golden child.
Hey,
that makes sense, and what I said doesn't. Okay, all right.
I didn't even make my point yet. What are you talking about?
Calling Seth Rogen their golden child?
Well, I'm just saying he's in their circle. How about that? One of their own in their circle. You don't think Seth Rogen isn't? He's not connected with Judd Apatow. Power production?
Whoa, hold on. Judd Apatow is not a power broker in Hollywood.
Really? Okay.
Really?
All right, I'm just saying. Okay, fine. We'll agree to disagree on that one. I think he is.
He's made a ton of money. I'm the movie guy. You're the comic book guy.
Try
to pull rank now.
Wow.
Are you sunning me? Is that what's going on?
I didn't sun you. Hey, I don't argue. I don't argue with y'all on comic book stuff because that's not my lane. That's all I'm saying. But I would not call Judd Apatow a power broker in Hollywood. I would not call Seth Rogen a power broker in Hollywood. I would not call James Franco a power broker.
I didn't say a power broker. I said he was one of the chosen ones.
You made a comment on the live show about him getting an Oscar nomination because of his affiliation with a certain group in Hollywood, which I totally disagree with you with. But I think that award was true. Well, not award. The nomination was truly earned and not because of his quote unquote affiliation with a certain group in Hollywood.
I will say this. I do believe, though, he has a certain cachet that they let him put any kind of movie. He's all these little wild ideas he has. He seems to have no problem getting these things funded. And obviously he makes money for the movie game because he does have a lot of projects, and he's got the Preacher coming and even this kind of movie. And even, again, some of the other leaked emails from Sony was some of the executives were not quite sure they should actually go forward and make this movie originally. As well, either they didn't think it was that funny, but and they thought that maybe North Korea might be a little hot about this, but they went ahead and did it anyway.
So what I'm saying is that all these Hollywood people, they when one of their own, the people that they're in good with, it's an affront to them losing their film being released. All of a sudden, they want to talk about what's an outrage and an affront to freedom of speech, and I'm just like, man, it's a fucking movie. Get over yourselves. And I feel that and I probably gonna catch heat with this, but no American film studio should be in the habit of making a film where they talk about our American government plotting to assassinate a sitting head of state. I don't understand how did that get greenlit in the first place?
I'll tell you how.
Tell me.
Y'all don't want to hear it.
Are you?
Oh, here we go.
You guys, speak into the mic just a little bit.
I said you don't want to hear it.
Sure we do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I want to say it. Two words. White privilege.
Oh, Lord.
Here we go. Oh, shit.
Hey.
So let me understand the argument. So a movie cannot be made about a plot or to kill a head of state. Is that right?
I'm not saying it can't be made, but... It's a little presumptuous. Is that the word? Arrogant to make a movie about that theme.
Yeah, and they're portrayed as the good guys.
In a Lot of Fire.
What about it?
That was a movie about a plot of an assassination of a head of state.
And he was portrayed as the good guy or the bad guy.
Well, who, the killer?
Yes, what? the assassination.
Well, obviously, he was the villain, but that could be argued. You could. The villain doesn't see himself as the villain, though. The villain sees himself as the good guy.
Okay, Sean, you know what I mean, though. You know
Wait. Who's the head of state?
It was whatever. It was a president. It was. I don't know who it was supposed to be. It was.
I mean, of another country, or
the Clint Eastwood John Malkovich film.
Right, I know. Yeah. I saw it. It was so forgettable. I don't remember.
What? Forgettable?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm just asking. Who was it? Was the person being assassinated?
It was the president of the United States.
Yeah, but that's
not the same, though, Sean.
No, of course it's not the same.
I mean, because I remember the Naked Gun, and please follow me as I go there. There was an assassination attempt on Queen Elizabeth. They were portrayed as the villain, not the hero, not the protagonist. And it wasn't a government conspiracy, a U.S. government conspiracy to take out a head of state. That's kind of propagandish.
But it wasn't a country that we already have, quote unquote, Cold War tensions with.
But this isn't a Jason Statham film. It's Seth Rogen. It's a comedy. It's played for laughs.
To me,
I just don't. Like The Naked Gun. The Naked Gun wasn't a serious, hard-hitting drama about the attempted assassination of Queen Elizabeth. It was a freaking comedy.
To me, I don't think an American film studio should be making a film where the U.S. government is plotting to assassinate a head of state.
Wait, remember
a real sitting head of state.
Yeah, you remember the movie? It was sort of controversial in 2006, Death of a President.
Yes.
It was a mockumentary political thriller, and they were talking about, you know, it was a fictional account of trying to assassinate George Bush.
I remember that.
I mean, a lot of people in America, you know, I believe Dick Cheney and some of the other ones that had a lot to say about that movie being released over here and thought it was very disrespectful and all that kind of stuff.
Who made it?
It was made out of the United Kingdom. So it was not an American movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, and it was didn't do that. No, I'm
and
sorry.
It was released, but and it was released, and it flopped, and for whatever reason, and we moved on.
It wasn't a wide release type of.
Well,
movie.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. Yes.
Well, here, real quick, because I know we're going to go on. I want to come back to this, but I want to get Tori's opinion real quick.
Tori's here?
Yes, Tori is here.
Yeah. Oh, hey, girl, how you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Good.
Turn off the sexy, please. Jesus Christ. Jesus, put a lid on it, man.
Hilarious.
Wow. I have never heard him talk like that before.
Go ahead, Tori.
My take on this movie, I think they should call the bluff, you know. I say release it. Like, I'm sitting here trying to ponder, like, how can they pull something off if they release it in all these theaters? Are they going to hit all the theaters, or are they going to just target one place? Like, I don't get, you know, why they would pull the movie. I mean, even though it looks like it's not all that good, I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I just think it's just so ridiculous. They're pumping fear into people, and it just doesn't sit well with me. I say release the movie and see what happens. I don't know. I think they should take that chance. I don't really think that there's nothing that's going to happen. Now, that's my opinion. I may be wrong, but I say fuck it. Release the movie and see what happens.
Release it!
Can I just make one point real quick? Sure. I was going to go back to what Sean was saying. It's just a comedy. It's just a stupid comedy. Okay, so just imagine what would happen if we got wind that North Korea was going to produce a film about trying to assassinate, I'm not going to say Obama because most of the country here probably would be okay with that, but assassinate an American president. Do you think that would go down lightly with us?
Will that happen?
I believe it would. It's a comedy. It could almost be a satire, you know. Yeah. What was the South Park movie?
Team America, something like that.
Team America, yeah, and even the South Park movie, they had Saddam Hussein having a sexual affair with the devil.
Going back further, they did this in Hot Shots with not Hussein, the other guy. Oh, geez,
Arafat.
Mustache. Not Arafat. Guy had a mustache.
No, I think it was Saddam.
It was Saddam Hussein. Yeah, and they nailed him in Hot Shots.
They didn't kill him.
I look at it like this.
What year was that though?
They didn't kill him.
It's a different time.
I look at it like this. It's not just a comedy, because to me it'd be like, and this is my take on it. If Seth Rogen said, you know what, we're gonna do a sort of a hot tub time machine back to the future, where we're gonna go back and we're gonna go and pull Malcolm X. And then we're going to pull him back into slave time, make him a slave. And let's make that a comedy. Cats would be up in an uproar. They wouldn't. And if they were to try to tell you, it's just for fun. It's funny. Call him a nigga.
Hell, Django.
I'd pay to see that. I would pay to see that.
Yeah, you guarantee that. They would, all hell would break loose.
What about Inglourious Basterds? I mean, I guess Hitler's not a likable figure, so maybe that's not a good comparison. But, I mean, Tarantino basically shit on history and, you know, totally changed the whole script.
Yeah, but there's nobody, but it's not playing disrespectful to somebody. To me, it seemed like North Korea is like, look, you can laugh if you want to, but we're not going to have it. We're going to do something because it's disrespectful to us. And I'm saying that's why I think, one, I think it's wrong that they had to pull it, but I understand why they had to.
Well, I said that too.
But at the same point, everything ain't for fun. Some people, you know, one of my buddies online, he said, this is art. This is not political. I would respectfully disagree. It may be art to you, but maybe for the person on the other side, they don't see it as art. They see it as the super form of disrespect, and they say, you know what, we ain't having it. So, well, they did what they had to do.
Well, go ahead.
Hang on a second. I pulled a list of some movies that have been not banned, because they've never been banned, but they were highly criticized and picket lines and all that stuff. You guys probably remember some of these. Basic Instinct, remember yep. that one? That was picketed. The Last Temptation of Christ.
Yep.
Lolita, back in 62. And Cruising. Cruising was another one that was highly controversial and picketed. But none of those movies were banned, and none of those movies were...
And none of those studios were forced to do anything. Again, like I always say, if you're going to protest, are they just going to look at you and, oh, okay, you're protesting. Thank you. Movie opens, but they were put in a position where we're not going to sit here and protest. We're going to shut that bitch down, and we're going to come at you wrong, and they're illegal. But, you know, we're in an age of cyber crime, cyber terrorism, cyber espionage. They reaching out. They reached out and said, we're going to expose your stuff.
And that's what I honestly and truthfully believe why Sony pulled the plug. Not because they're not afraid of the quote-unquote 9/11 style attacks. They're worried about their own house. They worry about more shit that they've got that they don't want to get exposed. That's why they pulled that movie.
I think, when all of the top movie chains are not going to show it, you look kind of funny releasing a movie and ain't nobody going to be able to see it. Because, again, the top five movie chains all pulled the movie on their own, which we're not talking about that. So even if Sony went ahead with the release, where is it going to show?
Well, I think that was just fortunate. That was fortunate. I just think that they're afraid of their own shadow at this point. They know that they've got more stuff that, you know, can possibly be exposed, and you know, they've already taken a hit, you know, so why risk to take an even bigger hit? Let's just shut this movie down and let's protect everything else that we got coming down the pike.
That sounds reasonable to me,
or it sounds plausible to me. But I would also say that list of movies that you listed, none of them had the potential to put us at war. That's the major difference, I would say.
I didn't do a Google search on banned movies that could put us at war, but
right. But what I'm saying that list.
But if you're slacking and you're pimping, Sean.
That list.
I have a question.
It's like comparing apples to oranges. That's my point.
Is it just me, or if anybody else feels this way, is it just like opening a door for people to, or hackers to be like, oh, well, we don't like this movie. Let's put something out there in cyber world or space and shut everything down. I'm like, that's bullshit. I'm going to the movies. Like, really? Yes. Why
would they do that?
Well, that's why I said Sony set a bad precedent by doing this, because it does open the door. Let's use Django for an example. That was a very controversial movie. A lot of people, you know, were against it. So let's say, you know, the Brotherhood of Negroism decided, hey, we're gonna hack. Led by Q Storm. So we're gonna hack Quentin Tarantino's emails, and you know, we're gonna send them out if you guys put this movie out. Right. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, it just opens the door to that, and I just think that sets a bad precedent. Again, is The Interview a good movie? I don't know. I haven't seen it. Based on the track record of the people, it's probably a mediocre film that has some very good laughs, but ultimately it's not very good.
So, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. Go ahead.
So, as the leader of this group of Negroism, can I offer a rebuttal?
Rebut, conspiracy brother.
I would say once again that comparison falls flat because it is that does not involve including the leader of a sovereign nation who we are at, having political tension with. So there's a huge difference there. You see the difference, right?
I totally see the difference, but it still doesn't change my mind that it's still a bad precedent set. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not about a 9/11 style attack. It is about Sony protecting their ass, and they don't want any more embarrassing shit leaked that more than what's already been leaked.
Well, let me use a quote that you guys are so you love to use. This is about a business. This is still a business.
It's a business. Right?
And I think that's why right. they made that decision, because yeah, it is a business.
You understand that decision then, right, Sean? Because you like that quote.
I understand it, but it still sets a bad precedent.
Yeah, well, we agree on that. It probably does set a bad precedent, but they set a bad precedent by someone greenlighting that.
Let me just say this. Let me just say, the reason that they're doing it, I disagree with that. Again, they're protecting their ass. That's why they're doing it. Why are they protecting their ass? Because they know they're in the wrong. It's always the apology. You know, the chick that was talking about Obama. You know what? Shit, I think Mike, you said, you know, I gotta call Obama or call Al
Sharpton. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So if you hadn't gotten busted, would you be calling Al Sharpton? No. Right? So it's not that you feel sorry. It's not that you feel sorry for what you did. You feel sorry because the world now knows what you've said. That's a big difference. So Sony, again, Sony protecting their ass has nothing to do with them saying, hey, we're going to stop this film coming out because we're afraid of 9/11 attacks. That is not the case. I can't say that enough. It's not the case. Hell, the James Bond script is floating around. That's bad for business.
But Sean, you're absolutely right. But why are you acting like you don't know the game? I don't understand. Why are you acting fresh? I don't understand.
How am I acting fresh?
I mean, not fresh, but I mean like brand new. That's what I'm.
I knew what he meant, but I still don't. In what way am I acting that way? I don't.
Well, you're saying, well, it wasn't about them wanting to protect the United States population from terrorist attacks. It was about them covering up their ass. Of course it was. Oh, we all know that.
All right. But I hope that the people, the American people, don't believe that, oh, Sony, they're just protecting us from an attack of terrorism. It is not true. That's not why they're doing this. They're doing this to protect their ass. And I would have more respect for them if they came out and said, hey, we don't want no more shit coming out, so we just go pull it. We go make them happy versus saying we protecting America from a 9/11 style attack. Wow. That's disingenuous.
Now, what I wanted to say is like, I hope the black people are out there were paying attention. That's how you get some shit done. Big up. I give a round of applause to North Korea. Shut they shit down. Like, no, you are not about to disrespect us. And it's like, and to me, I just feel like it's the arrogance of, and you know, yeah, I'm an American, but it's the arrogance of those Americans, those Americans that think because we don't have a problem with certain things, that we have with no problem with parodying Jesus, that damn it, you Muslims need to get over Muhammad and let us make fun of him. That since our Supreme Court has allowed the burning of our flags, well, damn it, Brazil, you shouldn't be mad when we desecrate your flag. No. Just because you have no respect for something, just because you allow something, don't mean that should be the global worldview of certain things. And I'm glad North Korea is like, you know what? Okay, all right, that's what you're gonna do. Here's your James Bond script. Here's your emails. You don't like them? Here's all that shit, and we got more. So I popped my collar to them.
I think they need to get a sense of humor. Like, really, it's just a comedy. It's like, get over it.
Oh, get over it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But, okay, Tori.
Yes, Tori. What is it?
Tori.
Yes.
Now, but I'm just saying, do you think that there should be a line draw of respect? because you choose to go about making fun of your head of state doesn't mean that a country should be okay with you making fun of their head of state. I don't think that should be the case. Just like, just because I don't know what your religious background is. I'm assuming you're spiritual. Mm-hmm. Just because you see the white folks making fun of Jesus and white Jesus don't mean you cool with them disrespecting Jesus in front of you, correct?
I don't know. Maybe. I just like to stay on point. I would like to say that, you know, don't shit on us. We won't shit on y'all. We don't got no problem with North Korea. Ain't nobody blowing nobody up. People need to laugh and get a sense of humor, as long as they not trying to step on our toes and, you know, them on our toes and they're on our, you know, backwards and forwards or vice versa. I think it's okay. It's just a comedy. It's like, really? It's just a comedy. Just get over this shit.
So by that analogy, I guess I should hack Tyler Perry's emails and threaten to expose him so he won't release any more movies.
Well, if he got some dirty shit going on.
I don't know if you know, I have a long standing feud with Mr.
Oh, really?
Mr. Perry, yeah. No, mm-hmm. I don't even want to get into it.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I just stick to what I said in the beginning. You know, I think they should release it. I think they should call the bluff. They're not going to take out all these theaters. What are they going to do? Like, I just think it's a fear mechanism to get people to be afraid and to feel a certain way about North Korea. Now, I know a lot of people are probably like, oh, I don't like North Korea.
She got a point there.
Which some of them probably already didn't like them, but now, like, the hatred is building. Like, I don't like the way that route is going either, because now you're getting this hate that's building. And, like, I don't know, in a couple of days, is people going to be fighting, you know, Korean people? Like, oh, we hate you. You stopped the movies. And, you know, it's just
ridiculous.
If it
was Star Wars or something, maybe, or like a Marvel movie, I could see the people. But I don't think, I think for most moviegoers probably think it's, I want to say funny, but they may be like, ah, well, it's not that big of a deal movie.
Okay.
To get that. You know, here's the thing. If Sony, what would we have said if Sony said, no, we're going to go ahead and release this movie. Now, again, the theaters aren't going to show it. They would have looked even more, probably more, just as more dumb, and they would have had a bomb on their hands. Because, like, man, that movie only made blah, 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 because it only played in 5-6 theaters around the country because everyone refused to show it.
Theaters are cowards.
Like, well, they're in business, but you know, they're not going to risk anything.
There will always be a theater chain to say, hey, you're not going to show it? Shoot. I'll show it. Right. And I'll advertise. Yeah.
But obviously, again, it might be playing in 6 theaters. I mean, there's not that many huge movie chains that you can, you know, blanket the country with the top 5. So if they are not showing it, it's not going to be a big movie for a $40 million movie like that, which obviously they probably spent millions on marketing so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, they probably said, you know, we got to cut our loss.
And again,
they're probably smart enough to know, you know what, we can create some fake demand if we just fuck it, pull it, and we'll put it online, you know, put it on video demand or something, and people pay for it that way, and on DVD or whatever.
The I think the slate of Christmas movies are I think that's the only comedy. There's Into the Woods, which I saw last night but can't comment on yet. Unbreakable or something. I can't even think of the Angelina Jolie produced.
Unbroken,
sorry. and then I think The Gambler, the Mark Wahlberg picture. So that was the only comedy that was going to be coming out during that time. And that's definitely a segmented audience as well. So I think, you know, it would have done well. I think it's, if a theater chain would decide to carry it, I still think they would have pulled in people. You know who's probably the happiest guy in America right now? Seth Rogen's weed dealer. He's probably like, his phone's blowing up.
Well, I did want to say something. Like, Michael said something like in the lines of releasing it on demand or to video. Like, What's the difference between the theater and the video if, like, the North Koreans don't want us to see it or whatnot? Then we're going to find a way to see it if it doesn't come out at the theater. So, I mean, I don't get it. Like, if they're going to pull it, then are they going to just blacklist the movie? Why would they release it on demand or DVD or whatnot? Because, I mean, I feel like we're going to, if we want to get access to the movie, we will get access to the movie and we're going to see the movie. Like, I don't get why they're pulling it, because we can find ways to get shit. Like, yeah, I don't get it.
The internet is a beautiful thing.
I agree.
Well, and that's what they're dealing with, because all their movies are on the internet, which is the problem for them, right? Annie was already online. Fury,
yeah.
Again, like I said, they say they're going to drop the next year's movies already. So, I mean, they don't want that to happen. Like, they're already looking pretty bad, and they got to, you know, they got to stop this bloodletting and try to, you know, get it back together for next year. So, I don't know what they're going to do. To me, it's a sad situation. I feel for Sony because it does suck. I don't think they should have made this movie, but I feel bad for the people that worked there who didn't have anything to do with this movie and don't make decisions. That's just their job. Because, again, we got to remember, all the employees who worked there, their stuff is in the hands of these hackers. You know, their pay stubs, their socials, all that stuff. And they didn't have anything to do with this movie. So I feel bad for those people because they just caught up in something that's bigger than them. But
can I make this comparison real quick?
Sure.
Again, shout out to CinemaSins. They said this is for Spider-Man 2, and apparently when Doc Ock made those robots that were like almost AI, and the guy says, "Why the fuck are you concentrating on this fusion thing when you have robotic arms that can be moved just with your mind?" And to that, I'm saying, North Korea, why the fuck are you trying to get a nuclear bomb when you have the capabilities to hack all these fucking computer systems and wreak havoc and become a geopolitical entity economically with all this money you could be making? And I'm like, you're focusing on the wrong shit.
I think you just answered the question. I don't believe that North Korea is responsible necessarily. And I've already pointed that out.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of back in, like, I think it was 87, where some Rushdie wrote his book Satanic Verses.
Ah, yeah.
And there was a hit put on him by some, you know, religious groups, and mm-hmm. everybody had to buy the book just because, you know, you're not supposed to have it. This is the same type of effect that's going on here.
I just wish that North Korea, if they did do the hack, if they would have had a problem with Transformers Age of Distinction, it could have banned that movie.
Hilarious.
I mean, if it was North Korea, why wouldn't they? North Korea has never had a problem with saying what they are capable of doing. Why would they all of a sudden be so surreptitious with their with this program?
Well, what was crazy, I had heard long ago when it first started that it was North Korea all along. I don't understand why, like, all of a sudden, like today or yesterday, the news is, you know, U.S. confirms North Korea involved. I've always heard that back when the hack first started, and right. I heard it was because of the interview.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of been the rumor, but, you know, North Korea denied it, per se, and, of course, the government had no reason to jump in at that point. I think once they start saying that 9/11 stuff, you know, the public, like I think Tori said earlier, that fear kicks in. You say that, it's over. You know, ain't nobody going to see that because of that. Even if it's true or not, no one's going, you know, it just puts a bad taste in the brand, and no one's going to go to the theater. And, again, when you say that, like I always say, money talks. And ain't no, you know, billion dollar companies. They're not gonna play that dice. It's not.
What?
And yeah, the G move about it is America can't do shit about it.
No,
that's the fucked up part about it. Cause China ain't having that. They're like, yeah, you want to come over here and do what to North Korea? Nah, homie, we ain't cool with that. You go back over there and be mad.
I'm looking at this real quick. This specialist and cybersecurity is—he's quoted now as saying, "Someone killed 12 people and shot another 70 people at the opening of Batman: The Dark Knight, but we're gonna cancel this movie."
Wow, that's wrong.
People were shooting each other up during the premiere or the opening weekend of The Warriors back in 1979, and the movie still went up. you know, was aired.
New Jack City? Boys in the Hood?
Look, you know, that was different, though.
That was about you,
that was about ratchetness.
that was a blood feud going on. That was totally different. Nothing to see here.
You know, I'll just say this. As a guy who's had a lifetime healthy, well, some would say healthy. I would say healthy. Some would say unhealthy. Diet of all kinds of movies, bad movies, good movies, okay movies. I think if you have a vision to make a movie, I think, and you have the means to do it, I think it should be done. So I don't think that there should be anybody to say, hey, I may not like, I mean, I hate to use Tyler Perry again, but I hate his movies, but he has the right to make his movies, and there's an audience for it. People want to see it, and they should see it. I don't think anyone should stand in the way of that. I'm just a staunch believer of creativity and entertainment and you know, doing what you feel is right. I don't think that, you know, should the interview have been greenlit? Probably not. I mean, would I have greenlit it? Probably not. But they thought at the time that, hey, this could make money, because again, that's what it's all about. And it's a shame that it's not going to be released because of, you know, all of that.
Well, I'm just hoping that Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg and James Franco are going to get pulled into the Sony corporate office, and they're going to play that clip of Billy going, "This is a business. You ain't too far gone to understand that."
Hey, I say just freedom of speech. Just watch what you say. You're free to make whatever you want to make, but don't act like you're going to be free from the repercussions of what somebody don't agree with it. And that's,
I agree with, that's, I agree true with freedom, that 100%.
Because hey, freedom ain't free, babe.
If you can defend it.
Freedom is not free. It's a cost. You want to be a big boy? You want to put the middle finger to somebody else's situation and think they're not going to say nothing? Watch your back. So you can make it. That's what I said. The day they make that Jewish clowning movie, I bet you that bitch ain't going to get made. No studio will carry it. But so it don't go. Again, there's certain things that you don't fuck with. You don't mess with the Jews. And now you don't mess with North Korea.
Who are they, Mike?
I say the Jews. I say their name.
No. But what kind of people are they? They're the
wrong ones. I think Wikipedia entry just added North Korea because it said the wrong ones.
Well, you saw my Facebook post, right?
Yeah, they ain't having it. So if you want to, you got big money, right? And don't put their name in it.
Well, here, you made a good point about being able to defend, or at least take the criticism you get. I'm bringing up Tarantino again. He has caught it. He caught a lot of flack for the use of the N-word in his films. I'm just going to stick with Django for right now. There was, you know, he's a writer. He shouldn't be writing the N-word. He made a movie about slavery and slave times. Shouldn't that word be in the film? If he hadn't used the word in the movie, we'd be like, well, that's not even realistic, because they're not even saying, you know, the slave owners aren't using that word, which we know was a commonly used word at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was his defense. It's like, hey, this is what people talk, how people talk. Now, I don't know if black people use that term as much, but still. So
yeah, I bet you that won't let Spike make some movie about white people and set in the '70s and cracker, you cracker, honky, cracker. I bet you they won't green light that bitch.
Well, actually, no, they did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. Which one was it?
Summer of Sam.
Please. That's right. They wouldn't. And they sure ain't going to have that Jewish type movie where they just going in on Jews. That's how they talked. No, they didn't, motherfucker. You ain't making
that. They spoke the Queen's English, sir.
Yeah, well, I agree with you said about the whole Django thing and using, you know, the N-word. And at that time, that's what they did. Yeah.
Now, why we always use that? Why we always use that excuse when it's on a black people doing movies? But anyway, I'm just getting heated. Go ahead.
So I mean, like I was saying, it's okay to use it for that movie because that's what was going on at that time. Now, if Tarantino would have said, all you niggers go see it, you know, fucking black niggers go see it.
Well, yeah, that's outside story. The movie, though. Yeah.
He's not going to say that. He's not stupid. Come on.
Well, of course, he's not stupid. But I'm just saying, like,
waiting for him.
It's always the movies when they're saying the N-words where that excuse comes up. But I haven't seen those other movies. That's what I'm saying. I ain't seen the other movie. When did the other ethnic groups, they go in and they justify by saying, well, that's just how the story goes. Get over it. They ain't gonna make those movies.
Fine.
And we ain't seen it.
You never will.
And you ain't. They ain't gonna have Tyler Perry. Perry says, I want to get artistic and I want to do the movie about the white trailer trash and they calling da 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 da. They were like, brother, you ain't never making another goddamn movie again. Your shit is over. That's the day his shit is over. The same day Oprah thinks she would flex her muscles to make the movie Clown in That Other Race. Harpo Studios is a wrap. They ain't gonna let you do it.
All of a sudden, you gonna hear about all the little girls she abused in Africa.
Wow.
Oh, wow. It's like special investigation. Oprah.
Well,
she's got ties to Cosby.
She can say it now. She's some multimillionaire.
Couldn't get to a show without.
All right. Here we've probably talked enough about this. I wanted to, if you guys want to take the opportunity. I seen there was some heated debate on the Facebook chat about Kanye West and some rapper girl.
I saw singer. She's a
singer. I'm sorry. I know you and Q had some words on that. I don't know if you wanted to bring that into
the
show.
That was actually Big Sexy had more
words. I'm sorry. well, can you explain what that is? Because I wasn't quite clear. I saw the picture.
So, yeah, I bet you did.
Wow.
Damn. So, this new singer called Casey Hill.
Ain't this about a bitch? But go ahead.
Yeah. These young folks, man, the young folks don't know no better. You gonna call my man out? You gonna call him out?
Hey, Tori ain't seen the picture.
That's the whole point, Negro. That's the whole point. Damn.
Oh, my goodness.
This part of the show is brought to you by Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
Wow.
Keep it real since Denver, Colorado.
Wow. my man.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Should I just pay him off like Shaquille does?
All right, so it came across the Hip Hop Wire that Kanye West signed this new singer called Casey Hill to his Good Music label.
Who, Hill? Last name? Hey.
Casey Hill.
Hey! I don't know.
So I shared with the Twitter and Facebook verse, hey, have you seen this new girl? What do you think? And all hell broke loose because she's a white girl, not a sister. I'm like, dude, and then I'm like, I don't see what the problem is. It's like, okay.
Oh, so, my God.
What?
Seriously?
Let him finish.
He sees a niche market that he can make some money in. I'm not going to hate on him for that. And you don't know what he got going on with her, so why are you throwing the shade?
Who was the dude that was talking about how Snoop Dogg was made to look like a bitch by T.I. because he had to apologize for this white girl?
Okay, what is Kanye apologizing for?
No, my point is, the point I thought you were making was, you also went on to say how, yeah, it's so Snoop Dogg has to apologize for this white girl, but all the misogynistic and all this stuff with black women in hip-hop, that's okay.
But Q, this is apple to oranges. What does that have to do with this?
Yeah, that's not, I was thinking
the point I'm making is that you were making the point that this is a white girl who is being afforded certain privileges that black women are not afforded.
Okay, but he knows her. She has been a backup dancer on his tour, so he probably knows her talents. He probably recognized, oh, she can sing. Maybe, I don't know how many other backup dancers he had on his tour. Maybe them chicks could not sing.
Okay.
Maybe let me put it this way. Maybe they couldn't hum.
Wow. So I'm gonna pass on that. So I'm just gonna make sure I understand Q's. So And I mentioned this on Facebook, but no one said anything. So you're saying that black artists should only bring out black artists?
At no point did I ever say anything like that.
Oh, okay. Because I mentioned that Prince gave us T.C. Ellis, Tony M, and Robin Powers, who we can probably what's all.
What's your point about that?
My point is that, yeah, thank you.
I mean, he also gave us Sheila E, Angelo.
Whoa.
Vanity.
Morris Day.
He didn't give us Sheila E. He just, you know, helped her do her, get a little further. She was already out there.
She had a song out already?
I didn't know anything about Sheila E. until Prince put her on.
Well, see, y'all are suckers. That's why.
Oh. But here we go. Anyway, let's not get sidetracked. Go ahead.
My point is, you know, Prince brought out black people that sucked, essentially. So,
and black people that were good.
So,
right, exactly. Yeah, and...
And so, if he had brought out someone white that was talented, would you have a problem with that?
Well, we're talking about 1986, first of all. Second of all, the point I'm making, and I don't know why y'all trying to act like y'all don't know where I'm coming from, is that I frankly am getting tired of seeing black talent passed over for white talent. Obviously, I have nothing against white people. All right.
I hope not, because their checks pay well.
Hey, you ain't said nothing. I don't know.
Yes, sir, boss.
You ain't said nothing. I don't know.
Wow.
But what I do know is that, you know, I'm really tired of seeing. Let's put it this way, I just feel like black people are being slowly, but surely and inevitably being made irrelevant. Soon, I mean, right now you already have the top rappers, a white guy. The top...
Wait, who's the top rapper that you're claiming?
I'm not claiming it. But you ask a lot of people out there who is one of the top rappers in the game.
You said the top. You said the top rapper.
Jesus Christ.
You did say the top rapper. So I'm asking.
Okay, Drax the Destroyer. Let me be clear. When I say... All right, let me just say that one of the top rappers in the game, is that better? Oh, people would probably say Eminem. And I have no problem with that. But what I have a problem with is that we seem to be selling our own legacy down the river.
Where do you get that from? Legacy?
R&B? R&B music?
Okay.
Who's the name a white R&B singer?
Michael McDonald?
Hmm? What?
Daryl Hall, John Oates.
It's been like 30 years.
Justin Timberlake.
So you're saying that they shouldn't do it?
I didn't say they shouldn't do it. But
what are you saying, man?
I'm trying to say it.
Well, go ahead and say it.
What I'm saying is that we need to realize that maybe we've given them enough opportunity. Maybe we should. I mean, who do you got now? How many R&B people you got out there winning awards now?
Beyonce, Rihanna, J. Cole, Trey Songz.
They're winning awards.
We look at the Grammys if you want.
Let's look at them.
Let's see. Keep on making your argument. I'll pull them up.
Mike, you remember again, I'm being your archivist. Remember we had a conversation on Two Nigs about there was some... This was recently, within the last 4 months. Some black artist said something about... Oh, I think it was Pharrell.
Yes.
Talking about how... Well, these white artists, they don't get a chance to be heard. They need to be heard.
Right.
And I think...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I think the context was...
We're talking about the Robin Thicke situation and why, you know... Robin Thicke was special because he was white and he had a good voice and he felt like he should be heard. Most white guys don't expect it to be good in R&B, so it was special that he was actually good and he deserved to be heard. That's what he also said too.
I call bullshit on that.
Whoa, come on, Q, man.
All right, so here was the 2014 R&B Grammy winners. R&B performance, Something by Snarky Puppy and Lala. I think that's Lala. Layla Hathaway.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah,
now, Layla Hathaway can go. She can go.
Now, Snarky Puppy is a band full of white dudes, but
I would hope so with that name.
Best traditional R&B performance was by Please Come Home, Gary Clark Jr. Best R&B song was Push Your Love Girl. That's a Justin Timberlake song, which, wow. Best Urban Contemporary album was Rihanna. Best R&B album was Alicia Keys, Girl on Fire. So that's two out of five.
Two what out of five? Two white people out of five?
Yeah, white? Out of five categories. So it's still a majority.
Okay. I'm totally off base. I fully expect that one day, if I'm still blessed to take breath, I will wake up and black people will not be represented at all in R&B music because we will have all sold ourselves out. Okay.
I don't think that is the case because the top R&B acts are still black. I mean, you're naming Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake does R&B, but he's not R&B. He's pop.
Well, I'm going to go back to the argument you made that I brought up about the T.I. Snoop situation versus all the black women who are verbally abused in rap today. The point I was making was that why are white women being more and more afforded these opportunities and black women are being shit on?
Okay, first you'd have to state what black women are getting shit on or being left behind because of that. But it's still
I'll tell you. I'm saying the women, the genuinely talented woman who's out there instead of Iggy Azalea, and the genuinely
that's hip hop and rap. But go ahead.
I'm talking about entertainment.
Okay.
All right. Versus this Casey Hill, who we all know why she's being packaged. Because it's all about a business. That's all it is. You can't tell me there's not a black female artist out there who doesn't deserve a shot.
Okay, the question I ask is, let's play Michael Dean here. Now, isn't there the reverse of that could be that, isn't it refreshing to see a black man making money off of the little old white girl?
I'm not buying into that game, no.
Why not?
Because the black man could make money off the black girl, too.
But I'm just saying, isn't it? Can't you see it that way? That no. He didn't pluck the snowbird up. He gonna make a good hit record off of her, and then be done with her. That's damn near pimping.
How about this? Now I didn't know this, but so this girl was a backup dancer. You said for Kanye, right?
And a model for American Apparel, I believe.
Okay, so Kanye knew her or knows her. So yeah. It's essentially a friend helping a friend out. Let's just say that.
A friend helping a friend.
Hold on. I'm not done with my point. So, Anthony Hamilton, he sang backup for D'Angelo on the Voodoo Tour, and I'm assuming he helped probably get him on, and that's a friend helping a friend out. Isn't that the same thing?
I think first of all, I think it's crazy for me to accept on your word that it's a friend helping a friend out. That's the first thing. I don't know why it wouldn't be Kanye West is her employer and nothing else, nothing more.
Okay, well, Anthony Hamilton, D'Angelo, same scenario.
Do I know that they're friends?
Okay, employer. So right. He's helping get same. It's the same scenario, right? What's the difference?
I'm sure he got some money off of that.
But I guess
it's like Kanye's gonna get some money off of that. I mean, maybe it's like, well, you know how. I guess when you've made it, you got to get you have to go to Jacob the Jeweler. God damn it.
Jacob the Jeweler.
There you go. That guy in New York to get your blinged out Jesus piece. So maybe now the status symbol for these made it hip hop acts is you got to have your little white girl act. You know, T.I. got his, Iggy Azalea, Kanye want to have his, Casey Hill.
Well, one thing I just throw in too, I guess. Sadly, maybe that the audience wants to see the white girl and may relate to her more than they do the black girl.
And so we should play into that. We should
I don't know if we should play into it. You know, the marketplace may feel more comfortable seeing this girl. I'm not saying it's right. But there's a reason why these white people, when they do rap or when they do R&B, usually they're co-signed by a black artist, you know, a big black artist that's, you know, gives them the street cred and they blow up.
Hold on. How is this any different? Mm-hmm. How is this any different from, like, back in the days when Chuck Berry was around?
It's James not.
Brown was, it, hold it, on. Let me, oh, Mike, let me finish. How is it any different from those acts who were pushed to the side, mm-hmm. and then an album would come out with white boys on the cover singing the same song? How is this any different
It's not.
Oh, wait. How is it any different from Bruce Lee, who came up with the idea of a show where a man travels the country giving Zen philosophy, and then they put Yul Brynner in the role of an Asian man?
Right.
The marketplace may have dictated that too. Should we sit still for that?
Well, no, you don't have to. But the thing is, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I think it isn't any different, but it's the same reason why, to me, I look at a Jay-Z or I look at, there's a number of female, you know, independent rappers who are really good, but are they going to get in the position of Iggy Azalea? No, probably because
we don't know that. We don't know that.
I'm only saying is, when presented with a choice, in some cases, the pop audience will latch on to Justin Timberlake before they latch on to Trey Songz. Now you can argue whose music is better, and the music might be better from a Trey Songz. Music might be better from a D'Angelo. But from a point of the people who are actually going to go out and buy all those records, they feel more comfortable, probably, and my assumption, buying a face that they feel they relate to, regardless of if it's better than this other dude. And it's sadly that it's not about the quality of the music. It is about the personality and the image that they can sell. That's what pop music is.
The only problem with that is before you had all of these white acts co-opting R&B and hip-hop, mm-hmm. you had white teens and white young adults buying R&B and hip-hop before that.
Because they thought it was cool.
Right. So why wouldn't they still think it's cool?
Well, I think the problem is now is that blacks are not buying music in a large enough quantity to sustain the type of artist that you're saying that we should be pushing.
There's no argument there.
So
I agree.
So if the majority of the music sales aren't coming from blacks, the labels are only going to push to who they think is going to buy the music. I'm sorry. It just is what it is. I'm not mad at it, but there are other alternatives. If you do some research on Nipsey Hussle, that dude, he literally sold a $100 album.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Nipsey Hussle.
Oh, he put together, he got his money. He got his money. Paid. He
who
put
is
together.
He's a West Coast rapper.
Actually, he's from the hood around the corner from me, but that's another story. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he put together an album, had it pressed, everything nicely put together, and he came up with a way to market himself and came up with a $100 album. The album was also a ticket for a concert that he would do in cities as he toured. And he made his money. There's other ways for you to make to get your music out there, to get exposed and get your money back. And those $100 albums, he pressed only 1,000 and sold them all out. Now, eight of them were bought by Jay-Z.
Yeah, Jay-Z bought some.
Well,
I hate to sound like an old guy, but I'm going, man, they ain't never but too short. Too short, you do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree though with, and I actually probably agree more with Q Storm's sentiment, but I understand in terms of, you know, the marketplace of the business, they don't care about the talent. The record companies could care less about talent. They just want to sell what little records they can. And I think for them, they may see this innocent kind of looking girl. This is the first time I ever seen her today. They might look at that and say,
"You think that's innocent?"
Well, again, in my opinion, they may see that, you know what? We could sell this. We know how this can sell. We can have her in so many different other opportunities where we can maybe make some money. Now, I don't know if she's a very sexualized thing or what her style may be, but I could see why they think that this may be an easy sale to those people who buy the Taylors, Swifts, or who buy the Iggy or the Justin Timberlakes. I can understand why they do this, and I can understand why Kanye is like, psh, this could be some easy money for me.
Well, then how can, I mean, I just don't understand that how we can hate on India Ari for saying, making the comments she made at the, what was it, the AMAs?
What'd she say?
What was it, Mike? You did a show.
She
on
was
this.
Talking about how it wasn't. I believe I'm trying to remember if it was Macklemore or somebody. It was unfair that they won the awards, you know, like rap award or something like that. And my opinion was, I don't. Again, if you're gonna make the music, then you put the music out. If he's being voted on by the people in your industry, hey, that's your industry. You're not playing the game properly, but. I don't see why you got to go against him. He's not doing anything wrong. He's making music that he thinks is honest to him.
Right, but I'm saying that I was with you on that argument. But now, I mean, not saying I'm not with you, but if we're talking about, hey, I ain't mad at him. He's making money. Oh, this is easy sell. Shoot, he's making his money. I ain't mad at him. Well, then even if we do make the music and try to put it out, it's clear that it's easier to put it out. I'm not saying you can't make money back, but no one's going to argue with me that you get far more push if you have a major label behind you. And these major labels, I mean, we are doing their dirty work. They are not going to push a young black artist or black group for the reasons you guys are saying. And so now we can't get mad at NDRE then.
Well, again,
but they are, though. I mean,
they are pushing the black groups.
If they're good, they'll push them.
If you're marketable, okay. enough, you'll get out there.
Nicki, Beyonce, Alicia, Rihanna.
Nicki's terrible, by the way.
Well, to paraphrase Mother's Day, as fine as she looks, she ain't got to be good.
And that's really real. What she's selling. She's selling what she looks like, not really the music. The music is horrible.
It she is. Needs to start acting.
No, she don't.
No, please, no.
But she's not the first. She's not the first to do this, right? I mean, there's been many sex-driven artists. She's not the first, and definitely ain't gonna be the last.
Hey, Tori, you didn't see her on SNL?
If you guys are telling me that, okay, so this white girl has got her ass hanging out. I mean, it's a nice ass. I ain't lying. But she's got her ass hanging out, and you're telling me, oh, well, you know what we need to do? Then let's get another black woman out there objectifying herself, so we. That's how we do it.
Right, but let's be clear. I'm going to say this. Somebody said she was a model for American Apparel or something like that. Yes. Now, this could be one of her modeling pictures, so may not necessarily be that she's using this to sell her music. Like, I mean, that
I
you
didn't
could...
Say she, I didn't say she... We're talking about Nicki Minaj and how fine she is. And
right.
She ain't that fine. That's what she's selling. Well, she is.
Did you say she ain't that fine?
Nicki Minaj... I said it.
Guys, let's stay on target. Stay on target.
Well, hey, did y'all say Nicki Minaj should be acting, by the way?
I did it. I saw her SNL, and I was a little impressed with her.
She's already been in the movie. She was in The Other Woman. She was terrible.
Yeah. Horrible. I didn't see it, but like, I don't think she got very much time in there. Like, did she get, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
She played Cameron Diaz's secretary. And she was probably the best dressed secretary I've ever seen in the history of secretaries. She
Stay
dressed
on
better.
Target.
I'm just
Stay on target.
This was brought
Red
up.
Five. Red five coming
Stay
in.
On target.
This was brought up, so I just want to just
Red five,
say this real quick.
You disengage your communicator, Red Five. What's wrong? Why are we talking about Nicki Minaj's acting talents?
Because Ant brought it up. I said that she should be acting, and I want to discount what he said.
All right, let's go back to the rapper girl real quick. Go ahead, finish it out.
That's what we do around here.
Go ahead, Q.
Someone says something, we discount what they say.
No, I'm just saying that if Ant's argument is that Nicki Minaj is fine, she ain't got to sing, know how to sing, that's how she made a talent, I think that's just as despicable, because then you're saying, well, if we want to counter these white artists, these white groups, we need to just put more black women up there showing their ass and objectifying themselves.
Well,
I don't agree. I mean, it's almost like saying, like, the Beastie Boys. Okay, my number two of the top Beastie five. Boys. They shouldn't be doing rap music because they're white.
I didn't say that, Sean.
I'll say it.
That's what I'm hearing. That's
what I said. What I said was, I think we need to recognize that enough is enough. That's what I said.
Okay, so I don't get it. So
what don't you? What's not clear about what I said?
So
it's not clear about what I said.
So the Beastie Boys, Eminem, Macklemore, they should not be doing rap music.
You didn't hear? I said okay.
Well, and to be clear, you know, Kanye has put out a black rapper before, a female rapper.
Who?
What's her name?
There you go. Exactly.
Well, I don't know half the music, but Tamra Taylor, you know,
Tiana Taylor.
Yeah, she was on Good Music.
She don't even have a label.
That album has not came out.
She was on that compilation album that they put out, right? She was on their video, and she was sitting with them all in the interviews and stuff.
Yeah, that album. He's put out comments.
He's put out a lot of artists under his Good Music. So it's not like he just started with her. This be fair to him, at least for that.
I didn't say he started with her.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Let's not act like, oh, he's just putting out this white artist, and now he's somebody turning his back on black people. He put the black girl out first. Whether or not her full album came out, he did. Now her album is out. Actually, it may not be on Good Music, but I see it in Google Play. It's out.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's in the new release. I can go look, but
are you serious?
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now.
I mean, what if this girl is truly talented? Listen, all right, I'm gonna go back to the Beastie Boys again.
Right.
Run DMC brought them out, right? They did their thing. They left the fold, and in my opinion, they got better with each album. They totally distanced themselves from who brought them out, and they became artists in their own right. Who's to say that not saying it, but who's to say this girl won't do that?
What year? What was the year that the last Beastie Boys album came out?
2011 or 12.
Really? Oh, I didn't know they put one out that recently. Okay.
The Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
How did that album do?
It did very well, actually, for the kind of album that it is, with what they do and who they are. It did very well. That Google Make Some Noise. Check out that video. That's one of my favorite songs by them.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that the Beastie Boys. I take you at your word that they put out an album recently, but they went out and staked their own claim back when the music industry was worlds apart from where it is today. It's not that easy to do that today.
It may not be easy, but it can be done.
It can be done. You can self-finance your own album and put your own album out and possibly make millions. It can be done.
Macklemore.
But it's not as simple as someone saying, a black artist saying, I'm going to mentor this young black talent and give that person a shot.
And to be clear, that's what DMC did
with the Beastie Boys.
That was in 1986.
Just to be clear, let me back up just for a second. To be clear, that Gorilla album I mentioned, it came out November 4th of this year. Good Music and Def Jam put it out. So it's out. So he put a black girl out first.
Well, wait. I want to hear what Tori has to say. She's the woman on the panel. I'm talking about how I'm kind of tired of seeing these black men pick these... I have nothing against white women, but picking up white women as opposed to nurturing more black talent, because we need to. The black community is hurting. Let's be honest. We need to put the music. Okay, see.
I was just saying what you just said. Go ahead, man.
We need to nurture the talent that's in our community. I want to hear Tori speak to this.
I agree with you to a certain point. I think it just boils down to money. As terrible as it sounds, I think that Kanye probably will make more money off a white singer than a black one, because the world seems to think that they're more marketable. And I mean, I don't know. I agree with you, but you know, I think like, where will the, you know, music be in 10 years? Will we, you know, be obsolete and it'll be all, you know, R&B is for, you know, white people, or white artists is bringing out R&B. No. White artists are bringing out rap. Like, are they going trying to wipe us out of something that I feel like is our own? Like, I don't know. Like, that's weird to me that a lot of white entertainers or people are coming out as singers. It's like, what is their struggle? Like, I don't give a shit. You're white. Like, it's unfortunately, it's a white man's world. Let's just be real. What type of struggle do you have that I need to actually listen to? You know, I don't feel like I need to listen to it because you don't have a real struggle, or there is not any like deepness within in the music. Like, that's just how I feel about it. I mean, I love white people, don't get me wrong, and there are some good entertainers. Like, I like
you like Kelly Clarkson?
I love Kelly Clarkson, but we are not talking about her right now. But I agree with you.
Meanwhile, we get acts like Bobby Shmurda.
Who?
Who?
That fool's name that was putting on a minstrel show in front of L.A. Reid.
Man,
he doesn't represent the community.
There you go. First of all, that's one of them New York Negroes. So don't put that all on all of us. It's New York cats.
Hey,
that's
what
you're talking about.
And second of all, I fucks with Hot Nigga.
There you go.
Oh wow.
Here's some numbers on maybe Kanye's decision. So the Taylor album that I talked about that he put out last month debuted number 10 on Billboard 200, selling 16,000 copies in his first week. Second week dropped to number 78, selling 5,000 copies. And then the third week dropped to number 160, selling 3,000 copies. So to date, she's sold 24,000 copies, which is not a lot. This is
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say she herself bought 10,000 of those.
She may have, but let's be clear, she's on one of the top labels. She's on Def Jam and Good Music, so there's a lot of money and push behind that. And if they for some reason don't feel like they can market her, obviously they couldn't make that be a success. I haven't heard the music. I haven't heard 90%.
Who is it? Who are we talking about?
What's her name?
Tiana Taylor.
Mm-hmm. And she's been in some sort of weird movie, or I've seen her in other things.
Yeah, she was in a movie with Bow Wow. One of Ashley Madea's, family.
Yeah, that's right. She was in a Madea
reunion
movie
or something like that.
Let's just
horrible. She was
let's
horrible.
Let's stop fooling around. She's the one with the banging body. Okay, let's just say it. Cool. That's who she is.
Okay,
that's all she's known for. She's known for a hell of a body.
But it doesn't, for her, it does not translate into sales, right? It's not even, you don't even know the album's out. It's not selling that much. And this is the one that Kanye did put out first. There's not much traction on it. Do you blame, the problem with the label didn't do it, or the marketplace not responding to it, or the music not good? I mean, it could be a number of things, but obviously it didn't work out for him.
I think it's interesting that you're saying that, because it's coming to me that unfortunately, and I really hate to say it, but it seems like a lot of black people in the music industry are not, you know, professional enough to be marketable. Like, they're letting their personal lives interfere with their money. They're letting, like, all these outside things, you know, interfere with their money. It's like, if you're, you know, an entertainer or a singer or whatnot, and you want to be about that life, then come correct. Like, why can't you be as marketable as a white person? Like, you know, and as far as talking about this young lady that Kanye is producing now, I'm quite sure she's going to pass Tiana Taylor. You know, now, as far as Tiana Taylor goes, I know that according to what Michael read about her record sales, it wasn't very high. But what is she doing, like, outside of her music that's, like, making everybody turn their heads? Like, she did that movie with Bow Wow and Madea, Family Reunion or whatever. It was horrible. All I can remember is her annoying voice. Like, who wants her to be the face of anything? You know, I don't know. It seems like sometimes we just kind of, you know, kick our own asses or put our own foots in our mouth because we want to take this music to so many levels, but we really are not professional enough as, you know, a white person, or marketable enough. Like, and I think it's just by our own default. Like, we really need to get our shit together, to be honest.
Well, you know, I think where she does have a future, and a lot of these chicks have futures at.
What?
Don't love and hip hop.
Stop it.
Sorority sisters.
Sorority sisters. Yes.
Oh, that garbage. That's
Let's transition
garbage.
To that for a second. Tori.
Hot garbage.
Wait, hold on. If I'm out for a rebuttal to Tori, okay. I think, and this actually kind of sort of makes the point, mm-hmm. is that those white artists are actually giving a good strong support group to nurture them and make sure they make the right moves, whereas most of these black artists, they're not giving that much. I mean, all due respect, Teyana Taylor learning under Kanye West might not be the best thing. If she want to learn how to produce an album, mm-hmm. yeah. She want to learn how to get attention, yeah. But as far as selling albums, Kanye might not be the best person. Okay. Because he's hated. He's a success in spite of himself.
All right. Sorority sisters. Now, Big Sexy, did you watch the show?
Thank you. I watched the trailer and had enough.
You are a smart man.
Yes, very smart.
What'd you think, Tori? We both watched this.
Yeah, it was.
I'm addicted to this stuff.
Yes, you are. It's so sad. I don't even want to get on why you're addicted to ratchet TV shows. But anyway, staying on point, sorority clowns. I'm sorry, sisters. It was so horrible. Like, I just was so embarrassed and ashamed to like be watching it, and like Michael is just like chucking it up, like you guys should have seen him. He's just like cracking up and loving it, and I'm looking at him like, really? Like,
no, I was, women, to be fair, I was saying some of this should be
okay,
the girl's voice and all that,
some stuff
irritating,
but like they all look like hag bags, like really, like they're like, I don't know, 20, 30 looking 40 and 50, like it's horrible. It's like women, black women, petty. you're this old, why on earth are you carrying on, you know? And it can't really be about the money, like you really going that low, you know? It looks really, really bad, and I really hope they pull it. And is Mona behind this? Is she behind this too?
Mona Scott Satan, she's got it.
Boy, she is the devil's worker. She is working hard, keeping people lost and black people behind. And I don't support it. I know that earlier I was reading something, or Michael was telling me that some endorsements are pulling.
Hallmark.
Okay, yeah, Hallmark is pulling.
I can see that.
And I think that, you know, they should be, and I think that they should really can it, and, you know, all that ratchetness. I'm not for it. It's entertaining to a point, but this show is just, it's bananas. Like, all of you guys should watch it to see, like, it's beyond ratchet. Like, if there was another word beyond ratchet, then that would define this show.
And help us out with that.
Beastie?
Oh, man, I haven't heard that one in a while.
Beastie's back.
Yeah. All lies on
you. You know, my mom's an AKA, and I had.
Wait, hold up. What?
My mom's an AKA?
You're not going to talk about his mama, are you?
No, I'm just shocked to hear this. Wait a minute, what?
Okay. Why are you shocked to hear that?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'm just kidding.
Nah, Sean, you got some bass in your voice when you said that. Go ahead. Don't back down. I heard that bass.
I'm just giving props. Like, go ahead. She an AKA. Go ahead.
Clean it up.
My mother's a Delta.
Wow. My pops is a Q. So
I follow Q too. How do you end up with an AKA?
Yeah, I'll go call that one out too.
That's a long story. We won't go there. And I had asked if she had watched it, and she said she saw, like Tori said, she watched the commercial or the preview. That was enough for her. She was like, I said, is it really like that, Mom? She's like, no, that's not how we do. So.
Mm. Yeah, it's really bad. It just makes the sororities look really, really bad. And I'm quite sure there's a lot of great sorority organizations that is really pissed off because of this show, and they should be, because it makes all of them look bad, literally. Like, it just it's horrible. I don't know who came up with the idea, what genius did that, but yeah, they need to
kind of along the same topic, I read on Twitter that one of the sororities, and I forget which one, I want to say it was Delta's, but not sure. They had asked, or they were saying that their members should not be wearing their letters while doing any of the Ferguson protest or the Eric Garner protest, which I found kind of interesting.
What? That's bullshit. Fly your colors if you fly your colors. That's just how it is. Especially if you're doing something that's right.
I just report the news, bro.
Or we expect a full apology.
Mike Dean, you got the Coon Train music for them?
Wow. No, we don't want to elevate the black sororities.
And I don't look that favorably upon them anyway, so.
Oh, he went to the okay.
I know it's just when they do the step show. That's all. Only time I gives any fucks about them.
Oh wow, it's
been bubbling brown sugar.
Oh Lord.
All right.
Are we ain't gonna talk about Cuba?
Go right ahead.
That's a big. I don't really want to. But
you know, fine. We'll save it for the next show.
Yeah. We actually went way longer than we anticipated tonight. All right. That was some good stuff. Very good conversation. We're going to wrap this up. As we always do, go around the room. Q Storm, where can they find you?
You're going to find me marching in a few days. What label is Kanye on?
Oh, here we go.
Good music?
Def Jam.
Def Jam? Okay. That's too far away from where I live, so I'm not sure.
I like that he's principled within a geographical zip code range.
And you know, that's right. And you know, that's why I give Sharpton props. He's out there marching. I'm sitting here. I can't hate on Al Sharpton. But you can find me at qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. I just put up my review for Top 5. You can find me at Facebook as Michael Jones, Twitter, qstorm3476. And you can find me on YouTube, The Real, R-E-E-L, Q Storm.
Right on. What happened to drive-by shooting? You haven't said that in a while.
I ain't had a chance to drive by lately. Oh, okay. It's been crazy.
And I heard you were the man out in Houston.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you didn't catch that reference.
I caught it.
Hold on. You got to explain that
Top
to me.
Five,
Top
Cedric.
Top five, bro.
What about it?
Cedric the Entertainer. He kept saying, I'm the man out here in Houston, motherfucker.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, wait, hold it. I just remember something. We're going to have to take another 10 minutes.
Uh-oh. Leave big residues on, sir.
Okay.
What? Oh. See, you didn't catch that reference.
Mr. Dean trying to get at me a little bit.
What are you talking about?
Trying to get at me about when I was talking about... Prince doing a Purple Rain reunion tour?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You didn't?
that ain't nothing, man. But go on now. If you got to say something, go ahead now.
I'm just playing. See, he got the bass in his voice, too.
No, I'm just trying to wrap this thing up, man. He's like, I want to go at you now. Like, no, go ahead.
I want to get revolutionary on me, okay?
Oh. Here we go.
All right. Put on your beret.
Yeah. All right, Malcolm. Next up, Tori, where can they reach you?
Yes, you guys can find me on Facebook at Tori Blue Roses McGlory, and also be on the lookout for my book that's coming really, really soon, yeah. Confessions of a Temp Call Girl. It's going to be hot and hopefully before Christmas. So, yeah, check me out.
Nice. All right, Mr. Aunt Pooh.
So you gonna ever, since we can find you on Facebook, you gonna ever accept my friend request, Tori?
You didn't. Wow. You haven't sent me anything.
Damn.
Send me something.
All right, I'm going through my inbox now. Let me see if I can.
Yeah,
because
I'm on my Facebook right now. I'm looking.
Hey, can I ask y'all a question real quick? Mm-hmm. Did y'all? How many people here saw Casino?
Yeah.
With De Niro.
Casino or the yeah? Come on now.
Remember when the bellhop went up to to Robert De Niro's character and said, "Oh, you have a beautiful wife, Mr. So and So. You're a real lucky man." He's like, "Thank you."
And in the voiceover, he said, I took care of his ass the next day. I mean, damn, Ant.
See, here you are. Habitual line stepper start, over there.
Let's start calling him Trey.
Trey.
Trey song.
Well, you can find me.
First,
on,
he was, first he was trying to, what do you call it, dirty macking? Oh, I know you saw the picture, Mike. We're on to your game.
Mike under the bus there.
Oh, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Go ahead.
Damn it. You lucky I can't remember that verse. I would have said it. Anyway, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter under @Apu. And go to 401 Mania right now. I got a new column up. Top far-reaching comic stories of all time. And I'll have a couple of breaking kayfabe stories over the next week, year in WWE, year in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
All right, Big, Sexy, and Sack.
Well, excuse me, I can be on, found on, that is, Twitter under Big, Sexy, and Sack, and on Facebook under Mark Wiggins, and the echo you hear is me in my office, and once I get my artwork up, I'll be putting pictures up because Q pulled my card the other day, and I can't let that slide.
Oh, yeah.
And if you let Q pull your card, you know, Pimpin' is slacking.
Oh, wow.
Hold. Nigga, I'm going to call you slot machine. I done pull your card some more time. Get the fuck out of here. You kidding me?
Lord.
Oh, the hilarity. Oh, yes.
All right. Last but certainly not least, Mr. Sean Hill.
All right. You can find me. And actually, this may be the last show I'm on for this year. I don't know. Schedule may be a little tight, but I'm going to try my best to come back. But you can find me on Twitter, at Hill Street Views, Facebook, Sean Hill, and also Real Movie Talk, R-E-E-L, and the blog, which I was supposed to have a review of the interview, but beyond circumstances beyond my control have made that impossible. But I will have some new stuff up, and I am seeking help from the panel and also from all our listeners. I need your nominations for Worst Animated Film of the Year, Worst Frozen. Sequel of the Year.
Frozen.
That was last year. That was 2013.
Oh, damn. It was so bad it goes this year, too.
True. So I'll start over. Worst Animated Film, Worst Sequel, Biggest Disappointment of the Year, Biggest Surprise of the Year, Breakthrough Performance, and the Call Your Agent Award. So leave them at Facebook. You can put them on the Podcast Juice page, my Facebook page, or hit me up on Twitter. Just want to know what your thoughts are on those. And again, the blog is hillstreetviews.blogspot.com, where probably the next thing I do will be the best and worst films of 2014.
All right, looking forward to that. I think the only interview movie we'll do Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, God.
We'll look at that one. Anyway. All right, you can find us at Podcast Juice on Twitter. Also follow us on Facebook. And last but certainly not least, hey, if you haven't joined already, join up to All Access on Podcast Juice. It gives you access to over 9 years of podcasting entertainment. So definitely check us out on that. And you know, as I always say, my name is Michael Dean, and you must work it like a job. We'll see you next time. Peace.